This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio today by
Christine Wong.
It is 12:05 here in the studio, and we're going to be with you for about an hour or so on this Friday, the 28th of January, 2022, the last Friday, of course, before Chinese New Year. We are talking to you about inflation today. And if you have any comments, queries, questions, you can let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, or get us over on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. And that's what we're talking about today. Inflation. You know, we hear that word a lot in the news from angry shoppers at the supermarket and when discussing the seemingly perpetually bad economy over some tater egg. But how bad is it really? We'll be speaking with economist Jeffrey Williams a little bit later on to demystify some of those stats and some of those numbers to give us a better idea of where Malaysia is in inflation-wise and what can be done to potentially fix the issue of some of these rising costs.
Mm-hmm. So about a week ago, the Department of Statistics announced that the rise in transport costs and food prices drove inflation to a high of 3.2% in December last year. And it said that the increase surpassed the average inflation rate of 1.9% for the period 2011 to 2021. The rise was fueled by a 7.5% hike in the transport group and a 3.2% increase in the food and non-alcoholic beverages group. Chief Statistician Muhammad Uzir Mahidin said the increase of the prices of food and non-alcoholic beverages was due to the higher prices of raw materials for the preparation of cooking at home, such as meat, especially chicken, milk, cheese, and eggs. He added that heavy rains in several states such as Selangor, Kelantan, Terengganu, Pahang, and Johor throughout December following the northeast monsoon led to the increase in food prices, especially vegetables, fish, and seafood. The inflation rate of 3.2% in December was also attributed to price increases in housing, water, electricity, gas, and other fuels, furnishings, household equipment, and routine household maintenance, as well as restaurants and hotels.
Now, on the flip side, an article on Free Malaysia Today by economists Paolo Casadio and Jeffrey Williams says that the latest data from the Statistics Department confirms that despite the noise and chatter about rising prices, Malaysia does not face an imminent inflation problem. For the year as a whole, inflation in December had fallen from the peak of 4.7% seen in April and is clearly on a downward trend. According to both economists, the causes of price increases are also well understood. The first is the increase in the global oil price, over which Malaysia has no control. The second is the removal of utilities subsidies to reduce electricity bills introduced during 2021 to cushion the effect of the lockdown policies. The third is supply side constraints due to the impact of the lockdowns on production and transportation of food and higher costs, including feed for livestock. This was made worse by labour shortages due to restrictions on foreign workers and the impact of the floods, which badly affected production and transportation. The good news is that there are no new factors pushing up prices as a whole, and prices across the board are normalising towards levels consistent with longer-term price stability.
Yes, so to ensure that headline inflation remains under control, is what I meant to say, they recommend that the temporary subsidy on utilities to reduce domestic and commercial electricity bills should be reintroduced immediately. Both Jeffrey and Paolo emphasize that the utility subsidy is a temporary risk management measure, which provides some insurance against rising international oil costs and other factors, and the price stability that will be achieved will give an important advantage to Malaysia in recovering its growth path and catching up to the other ASEAN countries.
Have you seen or experienced significant price hikes, Chris, that you can think of off the top of your head?
The only thing I really spend money on is food. And in my head, I feel like maybe it's gotten more expensive.
Yeah.
Just a tiny bit.
I think... do ordering online from delivery services and food delivery services, that counts, right? For sure.
Yeah, I think so.
And it was this discovery just a few days ago when I was trying to order something from the same place that I've ordered from regularly. And it was, and it didn't seem like too much of a hike, but you know, it's one or two ringgit. And I'm like, ha, the
something
prices
still,
have gone up indeed.
Yeah.
Folks, have you spotted it? Have you experienced a significant price hike in anything? Let us know if you have. Talk to us about it. Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram. Twitter at BFM Radio. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Breaking financial matters. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
It is Friday, the 28th of January, 2022, 12:15 here in the studio now. Anyway, we are talking about inflation. Just before the break, we were speaking about the inflation rate of 3.2% in December. It was also attributed to price increases in things like housing, water, electricity, gas and other fuels, furnishings, household equipment and routine household maintenance and restaurants and hotels. It's that word that we hear a lot on the news from angry shoppers at the supermarket and when discussing the seemingly perpetually bad economy over some teh tarik at our favourite mama or wherever you'd like to have your tea with. Now, we do have somebody on the phone, and I believe I've referred to him in the past as that fella, but it is economist Jeffrey Williams, of course, from Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Jeffrey, thank you very much for your patience. We've seen a lot of numbers over the last couple of weeks telling us that inflation in Malaysia is at a high. In layman's terms, how are we actually doing overall?
So we measure inflation in a number of different ways, but for most of us, the main indicator is the Consumer Price Index, sometimes called the CPI. And this looks at the prices of day-to-day goods and services. And there are different ways that we measure the CPI. So the most common is to look at the headline CPI. And this is a wide basket of things that most people buy on a daily basis, and it includes items such as fuel and food, along with other things such as educational services, hotels and recreation, basically anything that we spend our money on a day-to-day basis. So last year, early in 2021, the headline CPI inflation measure rose quite sharply to around 4.7% in April. And we know why this was. It was due to a big rise in oil and petrol prices compared to the previous year in 2020. But since then, the headline CPI inflation measure has fallen, and in December it had fallen to 3.2%. And this is because the oil price effect has eased off. So on average, headline inflation was about 2.5% during 2021. Now, this is higher than normal. The long-term trend is about 1.9%. But in December, it was definitely lower than it had been earlier in the year, in April, for example, and there is a clear downward trend. Now, the effect of that was, the main effect of that was oil prices, but also fuel and some of the other indicators related to the lockdown policy. Now, if we take out, for example, the oil price effect, we can use a measure of inflation based on a CPI excluding fuel. And if we look at that measure, inflation was only 1.1% on average during 2021. So we can see that there is a big influence on fuel prices on the headline inflation figure. Another important index to watch is the core inflation figure. And the core inflation index excludes goods and services that are volatile or where the changes in prices are transitory. It might be oil prices, for example, seasonal food items, or some items that are administered due to price controls for a short period. Now, this indicator is used for setting the main operational policy guidelines. And during 2021, core inflation was below 1%. In fact, it was only 0.7% on average for the full year. So we can see when we take out all of these volatile items, We get a very different picture on inflation than just looking at the headline CPI. And in fact, inflation is much lower and much more stable than people often think. Now, this might not be so reassuring when we all have to pay day-to-day prices, whatever happens, but at least it gives us some perspective on the long-term trends.
Okay. So how do we compare to our neighbors and other developing countries in the region?
So if we want to look at inflation outside of Malaysia, we want to look at around the region, for example, inflation in Asia is actually quite mixed, and Malaysia is somewhere in the middle. So for 2021, inflation in Korea was 5.1%, in India it was 5.6%, in Philippines 4.3%, for example. But other places, inflation was lower. In Hong Kong, it was 1.9%. In Indonesia and Singapore, both 1.6%. China and Thailand, both around 1%. So it's actually quite mixed across the region. Of course, if we look at some of the developed economies, it's worse. So amongst the OECD countries, for example, inflation is above 5% in most places. And for the United States, inflation has hit around 7%, which is worse than it's been for almost 40 years. So, but of course, I can't remember that because I wasn't born then.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Now, in an article on Free Malaysia Today, you say that, and I quote, an increase in the money supply or the COVID-19 stimulus packages have caused inflation are simply incorrect. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
So there is a theory that inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. And that is to say that prices are caused by too much money chasing too few goods and services. So if we increase the money supply or pump in money using government stimulus packages, then people will spend it and this will cause prices to rise. Now, this is quite a beautiful and very elegant 19th century theory. It's called quantity theory of money. And it became popular again during the 1980s. And it was promoted by economists called monetarists. And it is, yes, it's a very nice and very lovely, well-known theory. And I myself was and am a sort of monetarist. I was educated in the University of Liverpool with the leading monetarist economist in the United Kingdom, Professor Patrick Minford. And since I like beautiful and elegant 19th century theories, I'm very keen on the quantity theory of money. But the problem is that it just doesn't match with what we're seeing here in Malaysia at the moment. We know that the recent high prices are caused largely by high oil prices and high food prices caused by food supply problems. And these are real factors. They're not monetary factors. We also know that as the final restrictions are removed, the final lockdown and MCO restrictions are removed, for example, both locally and internationally, the effects of the lockdowns will begin to taper off. Businesses will return slowly and start to recover. And then the supply of goods and services will start to increase again. And we might not perhaps get quite business as usual, but there will be a lot because there was a lot of damage. But we will see supply improving and it will be very much more responsive to demand in the future. We also know that consumers are very cash strapped despite the extra stimulus packages. So we don't expect there to be a splurge of pent up consumer demand. We expect a modest recovery. And prices will probably normalize as a consequence of that relatively constrained consumer demand. So put it in as you know, in order to put it into context, we can say for sure that the increase in the price of chicken is not a monetary phenomenon. That's for sure. So when chicken supplies recover, the price will fall and the price of other types of food will also fall. We also know that the increase in or any increase in the money supply today won't necessarily cause higher prices tomorrow because business capacity will be used to increase the supply of goods and services, and that should moderate any of that capacity constraint.
I don't remember the last time I heard economist jokes. But there you go. Thank you very much, Geoffrey. Stay on the line with us. We are going to take a short break here. We've got some music coming up in a moment from Bruce Springsteen. If you'd like to get in touch with us, get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter or Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. We do have a couple of messages, actually. I should probably talk about these right now. Let's
Please
have a
do.
Look. Maggie Best, let's hear from you first. Maggie says, let's not split hairs here. Whatever the reason cited, if my monthly grocery cart's items are less than before for the same ringgit amount the month before, it is inflation to me. The authorities or experts can talk and discuss until the cows come home with their complex reports and surveys. All I know is that the purchasing power of my pay packet is shrinking at an incredible rate.
Mm.
There you go. Thanks for that, Maggie. We've got another message here, but I'll get to that after the break. And we'll be back in just a few moments here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Bring forth money. BFM 89.9.
Enterprise Biz Bytes, presented by Allianz Malaysia.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's me and Chris here in the studio today. We are talking to you about inflation, inflation, inflation. That word we hear on the news a lot from angry shoppers at the supermarket and in particular from our friend over here, Steve Chong, over on WhatsApp, who said the government should step in and stop the increasing prices of food and drink, especially it's not justified as water and electricity and utilities, where have they got an increase? In fact, yesterday I went to the neighbourhood place to eat Yong Tau Fu. It's increased again by 10 cent a piece in a bowl of rice and a bowl of rice by 20 cent in USJ. And this shop every year also increases the amount of their price by 10 cent. Now it's a piece of Yong Tau Fu is 1 ringgit 90 from 2021 up from 1 ringgit 80. Criminal. There you go. Prices are, in fact, going up. If you have anything else that you want to contribute, let us know. 018-789-8899. Twitter or Instagram. We are at BFM Radio. We still have Geoffrey on the phone with us. He is the economist for Malaysia University of Science and Technology. So, Geoffrey, just going back to that article again from Free Malaysia Today, in that same article, you proposed the reintroduction of the utilities subsidy to keep inflation down. How much do you think that would help?
So one of the ideas that follows from thinking that increases in the money supply or increases in government spending are the cause of inflation or is going to cause inflation in the future is that to stop the inflation, you would have to introduce monetary contraction. That would be increasing interest rates, for example, or you would have to reduce government spending. In order to prevent that effect on prices. And we think that that is too harsh because the effect of food price increase and fuel price increase are actually quite specific. They're not general across all prices. But we do recognize that there is a concern about prices rising. And one way to address that would be to introduce a utilities subsidy, an electricity price subsidy principally. And to think about how that would affect the overall price level, we looked at what happened last year and we found that the subsidy was really very effective during 2021. And it reduced the housing cost component of the CPI by about 2.5% month on month in July last year. And it contributed to a 0.6% month on month reduction in the overall index in the same month. And this reduced headline inflation. Certainly it was a temporary reduction, but it was a significant reduction. And if we did the same thing again, it would help us to keep inflation down. It would help to moderate inflation expectations. And so people who are suggesting that inflation is going to rise in the future, and so we need to have higher interest rates or less government spending, could take that into account. And then we wouldn't necessarily be pushing for higher interest rates or cuts in government spending, which in our view would be very damaging to the economy at the moment. So if we were to introduce this utilities subsidy immediately, we estimate that the annual headline inflation would drop to between 1.6 and 1.7% straight away, and it would remain below 1.5% all the way up to June. And then we suggest that perhaps it could be tapered out during October and November, and then by the end of the year, inflation would rise a little bit, but it would normalize to around 1.9 or 2% by the end of the year, which is the normal long-term trend. But of course, a utility subsidy, electricity price subsidy, also has other advantages in that it does, in that the costs aren't paid by the government, but they're carried by the energy providers. And the energy providers, as we know, have been enjoying very high profits for very many years. So they can actually accommodate this in various ways based on accumulated surpluses. And actually, I think that the energy providers should welcome this idea because it's an extension of their corporate social responsibility programs and it has significant social benefits. Now, of course, many people will say that if you introduce a universal electricity subsidy, rich people benefit from that as well as people on lower incomes. That's, of course, true. But we should also remember that during this lockdown period, many people in the M40 group have been suffering from the lockdowns as well. They've lost their jobs, their incomes are lower. And so this type of temporary but universal measure, we think it should be viewed in that context, which is that many people have suffered during this period. And so although a utilities subsidy or electricity subsidy is a temporary risk adjustment measure, it provides us with some insurance to try to protect the economy against possible surprises from international oil costs, which are outside of our control, of course. But it also introduces a level of price stability and helps to moderate inflation expectations. And that's really very useful for supporting recovery. And because the recovery at the moment is in a very early stage, and we really want to make sure that we are not killing the recovery through pushes for higher interest rates or less government spending because we think that inflation expectations in the future are rising. So this is an alternative to that, and that's why we have suggested it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Jeffrey, you know, we often hear of prices going up in discussions about inflation, but we never hear about them going down. How likely is it that these surges in transport costs and food prices are temporary and will even out in the coming year? I mean, as far as we know, once a price goes up, it just kind of stays there, right?
So it's true that we more often hear about prices going up than prices coming down, but actually we do see prices going down and from time to time, and sometimes we see prices falling across the board. So in 2020, for example, in Malaysia, headline inflation measured by the headline CPI was negative for quite a long time, and most prices were falling. We had a period of deflation, and deflation is actually bad in economic terms, just like inflation is bad in economic terms, particularly if you have too much of it. The problem then in 2020 and to some extent in 2021 is that we didn't really appreciate or benefit the lower prices, because for many people, wages and salaries and incomes were also falling. So many people, especially those who lost their jobs or had pay cuts, they didn't benefit very much from the lower prices. We always have to look at wages and prices together to see the impact on living standards. It's quite an important thing to remember. In 2021, of course, we saw higher transport costs due to higher oil prices and higher food prices due to the effects of the lockdown and the impact of the lockdown on production of food and the supply chain and the logistical implications of cross-border and international transportation restrictions. So I think that as supplies improve, we should see food prices falling. But we need to watch that the fall in wholesale food prices or producer food prices are actually passed on to consumers. There is a danger that we might see opportunistic price increases or profit taking by firms who want to recover some of the losses that they made in the past. Now, competitive forces should address that problem, but I think we need to monitor it. And we need to monitor it because the competitive environment is, or the business environment, is not really as competitive as we often think or hope it might be.
Okay. Final question for you then, Geoffrey. What other measures can be taken to ensure that inflation is kept in check, especially in the coming recovery year?
So when we're thinking about how we can keep inflation under control in order to support the recovery in 2022 and beyond, we shouldn't really rely on price controls for long-term inflation policy because they distort the market mechanism, and that's something we really want to avoid. In the long term, what we need to do is to promote price flexibility within a vibrant and competitive market environment. And so we need to get back to some form of business as usual, but we also need to liberalize markets more and promote fair competition and encourage people to be much more competitive, encourage businesses to be much more competitive. Now, in the short term, getting back to some form of business as usual means finally ending the remaining MCO restrictions and opening up the local and international transport and supply chain routes fully. So we need to really push as hard as possible to get rid of what's left of those restrictions. And we also need to strengthen, this is more of a long-term issue, we need to strengthen anti-competition and profiteering rules and promote good price governance within the market. But one thing I think that is really interesting from the current debate is the question of how people understand inflation and the inflation process. And it looks that it looks as if it's very unclear to many people, even amongst the economics community. They have rather strange views about what's causing inflation and how we should understand it. And so I think it would be useful if the Department of Statistics, Bank Negara, Ministry of Finance, or the EPU could come together to create a more effective communications process on inflation and what's causing inflation and what the inflation process is all about. So, for example, we could have a regular inflation review report, for example, presented in an accessible way, in a way that we can all understand, with the aim of helping people to become informed about price rises. And that will help to moderate their expectations, because good information and analysis is actually a really important key element of effective inflation policy.
Great. Thank you. That was Geoffrey Williams, economist over at Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Thanks very much, Geoffrey, for helping us out throughout today's show. Almost time for us to wrap up for today. We have had another message come over via WhatsApp, number ending 6065, who says, "Hi, good afternoon. Actual inflation is about 20 to 25% on the ground, and anyone who says otherwise is a clown. It's a fact the statistics provided by the authorities are misleading. Please go to the ground to understand the situation." Well, thanks for that. Everybody obviously has their own feedback. It's time for me and Chris to wrap up for today. The other team will be heading up next week, Frida and, of course, Audrey here in the studio. So if you want to keep in touch with them next week, you know the number, but just a reminder, 018-789-8899. Twitter is at BFM Radio. If you missed any part of this show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally download it from. We recommend the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. On behalf of myself and Chris, we wish you a happy new year next year. Gong Xi Fa Chai.
Gong Xi Fa Chai.
BFM 89.9.
Enterprise BizBytes was presented by Allianz Malaysia, empowering businesses to build confidence in tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.